kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share in the Word today, and I have a title for us to think about, and that is Our Call at the Beginning Doesn't Change. Our call or calling at the beginning doesn't change. And I want to base this today from the book of Luke, Luke 18 and verses 31 to 34, Luke 18 verses 31 to 34, and our teaching is our call at the beginning doesn't change. And here, in the context of what we're looking at in Luke, this is the third time for our Lord where his prediction is that he must go to Jerusalem and face his death and resurrection. And we take it up from verse 31 where it says, Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. So he's appealing to prophecy. He's appealing to the Word of God, to the Old Testament, so that it is known that God will send his Son, and that his Son will be an offering, an atonement for sin, to reconcile man. So it's all there predicted. And he says in verse 32, For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. And why? Because it was not the right time for God to open their ears, eyes, and hearts. And it's the same principle for us. God will reveal and open our ears and eyes and heart at the right time when we're able to understand, when we've come to that place of maturity and faith in the Lord. And you will thank God that he does this. Again, this is his infinite mercy and grace, because he knows what we're able to take. But like he does with the disciples, those who want to go on and be disciples, he takes us aside and he speaks to us. And he does precisely this here in verse 31. Then he took the 12 aside and he said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. So he's not only himself going up to Jerusalem, but he's taking his disciples with him, because his disciples have got to learn about their Jerusalem, that they too must go to Jerusalem, and you and I must also go to Jerusalem, because it's there you learn about discipleship. It is there where your heart is dealt with. It is there where God makes exposures. The disciples would never have known what was in their heart unless they went to Jerusalem and they saw their Lord and Savior being handed over to be crucified. And there their hearts were exposed, the fear and the unbelief, because they all said they will never leave him nor forsake him. And we've all said the same as well. But it has to take Jerusalem, where the cross is, in which to really reveal what is in the heart. But God is always in control. God was in control with Christ going to the cross, reconciling the world. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. And there we see the word of God always confirms and reconfirms to make a point, so that we can never accuse God that he makes mistakes. And that's why I'm calling our teaching today, our calling at the beginning doesn't change. You see, when we respond to our call, we understand little. Did you know that? We know that because verse 34 tells us, but they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them. And they did not know the things which were spoken. So God hides it from us for a season, for a reason. He's absolutely sovereign over our lives. And he makes no mistake. So we're called at the beginning to fulfill a purpose. And God has a goal that must be accomplished for each of us. That's why I've shared many times, it's like the archer placing his bow, and there the gut is pulled and stretched to the furthest, to almost breaking point, and then it's released so that it can hit the target, the goal. And God does the same with each of us. The beginning and the end are exactly the same. In the middle, it's all history. It's all God reconciling, working out our salvation, getting us to walk by faith and not by sight. That's why we say so often, on one side of the coin you are saved, and on the other side you are being saved. And that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. We start with Christ and we end with him. And all the walk through all of that is where God is perfecting and maturing us in the faith. Until we come to the full measure and stature of the faith. And that's what he's working in us, even today, now, here in this room. And let's just read it again to remind ourselves of this in Ephesians 4 and verse 13. In Ephesians 4 and verse 13, where it speaks that he gives the fivefold ministry. It then says in verse 5, in which to equip us for ministry and for the edifying and the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13, here it is, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that is what we labor in the word of God. Verse 13, and that is your walk of faith. For what purpose? Till you come to the unity of the faith, or the completeness of faith. In other words, when it's all dropped from the head to the heart, that it's in the heart, the faith message, the deeper life that God mercifully, graciously gives us week after week. And it goes on, the knowledge of the Son of God. So we need a knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to perfect us in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So let's just break this down, what it says. So faith brings us to unity, to oneness, fellowship, just like we're having today. in order to perfect us, because there's a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we have to come into an experience of the fullness of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that is what he's doing, brothers and sisters. And so our call at the beginning doesn't change. The work that he has started in us doesn't change. God doesn't change. And this is what he's doing with us. So that we speak the truth in love, that we grow up unto all things unto him who is the head, Christ himself. And the whole body is joined together, knit together, so that every joint is supplied and touched and ministered and edified to that perfecting and maturity. This is why I stress so much that it is important that we come under the anointing. We come under God's ministry for this very work that he's doing in us, because the bride is making herself ready for the coming of the Lord. And how we are beginning to discern and see the signs and the times that are all pointing towards this. God's timing in which to rapture and snatch us away will be his perfect timing for his body. Mark my words. And so the goal for the overcomer is to be useful to him. And what do we mean by this? Well, we're useful because we win souls for Christ. We minister the word of God. We labor in the vineyard. We heal the sick. All of this is important, but I spoke at the beginning, it's not the actual goal. What is the goal? Is to do the will of God. That is the goal of your life. Everything in between is what God works through you and I in being that example, being that light set upon the hill, doing those good works, going that extra mile, embracing our enemies, turning the other cheek. All of that is the result of being baptized, empowered by the Spirit, but that is not the goal. The goal is to do the will of God. And that's why I said at the beginning that we are called at the beginning to fulfill a purpose, a goal. And so the beginning and the end are exactly the same. You are called to do the will of God, and at the end you are to do the will of God. And it doesn't change. It is the deeper life teaching. And that is why, because we're doing the will of God, that is why we go through a lot of trials and tribulations and overcoming. Did you know that a lot of your trials in your life is God working in you and me to do his will? Why? Because you've asked him to do it. That's why. God isn't going to work his will unless you've asked him to do it. So have you got trials? Have you got testings? Are you overcoming? Of course you are. And you are doing that because you've asked him to work his will in your life. And even he's put that desire in your heart to ask that. And that's why our call at the beginning doesn't change. And anything that comes along to try and change your calling, to change the vision, the purpose, the aim, you do not embrace it. Because God, your calling at the beginning, never makes a mistake. He has a purpose and a plan for each of you. The enemy tries to get in and change that purpose and plan. That is why without a vision, you perish. You must have a vision with your calling. And your calling is to do the will of God. Not my will, but thy will be done. That is the Lord's Prayer, the principle. But how many Christians desire with all their heart to do the will of God? They don't, because I'll tell you why. To do the will of God, you have trials and tribulations in which to work his will into your life. That's why. And most don't want that. They prefer to have their ears tickled at church, and that they've been good, they've gone to Sunday, they've gone to church, they've paid their tithes, and so the rest of the week they can live how they want. Sadly, that's much of Christendom. But God will not have that of FGA, and thank him that he won't. You see, Jesus' aim was to fulfill his Father's will. And it was Jerusalem where his will was to be fulfilled. And it's also interesting in the life of our Lord, he was never in a hurry to get there. Why? Because he spent time from village to village, preaching, teaching, healing the sick, raising the dead. He knew there was a work to be done. And so he was in no rush. He had success. Yes, he had fame. He was also rejected, and he most certainly was persecuted, but it never deterred him from fulfilling and going to Jerusalem. He could have veered off. He could have started to go off into Europe. He could have got in a boat and gone somewhere else, just like Jonah did, but he never did. He knew what his calling was. And brothers and sisters, you have to know your calling, and you have to settle it and allow the Spirit to work in and through you. You are destined, you are called to the throne of God as an overcomer, as an elder who is seated there around the throne, around the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is what you are destined for. And you must never let the enemy rob you of that vision and calling to be part of the bride of Christ. Many talk about it, many can preach about it, but not many have the call, the unction, the Spirit within them for this. And there is the difference, because you have to prepare for this. The bride has to prepare for it. And it's called faith, overcoming, the deeper life, and so on. You see, many talk about faith, but they don't really walk by faith. And it's not until the trials come do we know whether we're living by faith or talking faith. How do we know otherwise? And so, if you are destined for Jerusalem, then like Jerusalem exposed the unbelief in the disciples, it does the same with us. But praise God, what did he do with those disciples? He restored them. He brought them back into fellowship. Why? Because as we read there, they didn't understand. And many times we run away or we hide because we don't understand. But stay with it. because God says, I will open your ears, your eyes, your heart to understand. It's just not the right time yet. So because it's not the right time, don't run away. And the love of God will keep us with him. And at that right time, he will reveal what he wants us to know. And so we have to learn that the same things that happened to Jesus will happen to us. Let's turn to Matthew 10 and verse 24. Matthew 10 and verse 24 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. In other words, we're all one in this. And we're all learning from Almighty God. You see, on our way to Jerusalem, we will be used, but nothing must deter us. You are on your way to Jerusalem, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, but nothing must deter us. And the enemy is trying to stop us, just like he did our Lord and Saviour. And we know the story of where Peter tried to stop our Lord from going to Jerusalem. No, 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 they will crucify you. You will be persecuted. And he reacted in the flesh, in the emotions. But the Lord knew where that was coming from and said, he rebuked the enemy in him. Why? Because he knew nothing must deter him. Nothing must deter us from taking our cross up daily and following the Lord. That is our Jerusalem. That is where God deals with all unbelief and sin with us, that he's still removing. And when he arrived to Jerusalem, we know what happened. They crucified him, as it says in Luke 23, verse 33. Luke 23 and verse 33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Have you noticed what's coming out today in this teaching? It is our blindness. We don't see. But God in his mercy opens our eyes. I have found myself at times saying, Father, forgive me. I am not seeing what you want me to see. I'm still blinded in areas, but you will not give up on me. You will bring me to that place where I will see like you see. But you know the right time for all of this. We have to understand this, brothers and sisters. Our eyes are still being opened to the glory of God. But this is the sovereign work of God. And that's why he says, my grace is sufficient for this day. And let's face it, each day we see more than what we saw previously. So God continues to open our eyes, does he not? So that we can see more and more of his glory. You see, Christ going to Jerusalem, you've got to remember, this was the doorway. God could not have any other doorway into glory for his son than Jerusalem, Calvary. There is no other door. You can look for other doors, but those doors will lead to a dead end. There is only one door, and it is your Jerusalem and my Jerusalem. and it's a doorway that will open up for you, and that's why it doesn't stop at Calvary. It ends always in glory. The cross that you take up daily ends in glory for you, brothers and sisters. So don't get tired of it. Don't start to put it down, or it seems as though nothing's happening or working. Your cross, my cross, ends in glory. And thank God for it. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. You stop at crucifixion and you keep yourself still under the law, under bondage. That is why the preaching of the cross has to be balanced. It has to be scriptural. Yes, we die daily, as Paul says. But that dying daily is for the purpose of glory that is to come. So what is the glory in this life that we experience from the cross? Christ in you, the hope of glory. My dying daily is for the purpose that the life of Christ may live his life in and through me. That's what it's about. So what is that life that lives through you, Jesus Christ? Is he crucified? No, he isn't. He has triumphed. He has overcome. He is risen. So the life that now lives in you through the cross that you take is the risen, glorified life of Christ in you. Hallelujah. Never forget that, brothers and sisters, when it gets hard, when it seems nothing's happening. Remember this. This is why I always keep stressing you live now by the life of Christ in you. That risen life, that life that has overcome, triumphed over the powers of darkness. This is why you have the authority in that holy name. And God has to get that from our heads to our hearts. And it takes time, because we still don't see yet. We're still not grasping the victory in the life of Jesus in my life, because I still haven't settled yet my walk to Calvary, which is the cross. There's no shortcuts in any of this, brothers and sisters. As God had to reveal to the children of Israel when he called them out of Egypt, they wanted a shortcut. And as a result of it, it took 40 years. And they complained and griped and moaned. And they saw the greatest miracles any nation has ever seen on the planet. It shouldn't have taken 40 years. But it did, because of the hardness of their heart. And is there anything new under the sun? No, there's not. Still the same. Sadly, we still see it in the churches and amongst Christendom. But the grace and mercy of God never gives up on us. And that is why Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem, because Jerusalem, Calvary, was the doorway into glory. And that's why he says, behold, I set a door. He is the door, and that door is open. The same as that door was open into the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark was built, so the same door that is open to the Ark, the same door that is open through Calvary, the same door is open to us. But we have to enter through it. You have a free will, and God never forces any of us. And that's why that doorway Open now is the doorway into the deeper life with God. And it doesn't change. And that's why I said your calling at the beginning and your calling at the end doesn't change. What happens in between your calling and your end is whether you're willing and you want the will of God as the goal in your life. I live only to do the will of God. And that is why the Spirit works with you and me like he does, in which to fulfill his will, not my will, not good ideas or good intentions or whatever it would be. We do not know what the will of God is for us until we yield to it. Why? Because he says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. It's way, 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 way past us even trying to understand. The only thing we understand is he wants us to do his will. And when we start to yield to that and we allow the Spirit to train us for that, then we begin to understand and learn his will. And boy, when you begin to learn his will, sadly, it exposes so much that's not happening in Christendom as it should be. That's the tragedy. But praise God, he's got a remnant. He's got disciples who he calls and sets aside and teaches and explains and shows us his will. That is why your cross that you take up daily to die upon doesn't stop just at crucifixion. It ends in glory. There is an old saying, isn't it, that we know, no gain without pain. And that is so true. And let us end with Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 that you know very well here, but let's just encourage ourselves again in verse 10. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things to bring many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And there we are. What is he doing? He is bringing sons. It doesn't say children there. It says sons. And that's why we have to grow up spiritually. We cannot be pampered like babes. We have to mature into sonship. He says, for it is fitting for him, Christ, for whom are all things and by whom are all things. So there it's revealing his deity, his sovereignty, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That is why we go through the sufferings in this life, to make us perfect, to perfect us, to remove the hindrances to our unbelief and faith, so that we can have that simple childlike faith, a faith that simply wants the will of God and lives for the will of God. And everything will flow from that for the glory of God. And why do I say that? Because it's Christ in you doing the will of God. He's doing it through you, not you trying to do it. It's as we yield over to the Spirit. And the only way we can do that is when we take up our cross and we yield to the cross, the working of the cross that puts to death all the flesh life, all the unbelief, all those things that we battle with, the cross will deal with it, the same as it dealt with Christ, and presented him to the world as that perfect sin offering that we might be redeemed. Hallelujah. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Our call at the beginning doesn't change. Nothing changes with God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank God he is, because that reveals to us he is trustworthy, he is reliable, and he will never forsake us or leave us. Hallelujah.
So disaster, let him in constancy fall.